The first Bible reading today comes from the second book of Kings, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. This passage is about transition. Elijah's ministry gives way to that of Elisha. The main purpose seems to be to verify Elisha as the true successor. Prophets were charismatic, called by God and given particular gifts. There was no pattern of succession, simply recognition by others. The stress of verse 10 is that it is not Elijah's choice, but God's choice that matters. So, 2 Kings 1 to 12. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, and as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to the side, to one side and to the other, until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. The reading from the Gospel is from Mark chapter 9, verses 2 to 9. Jesus takes three disciples, Peter, James and John, away from the activity and pressures of the Galilean ministry. They retreat to the seclusion of the mountains, where Jesus had often walked when he needed to think and pray. It is here, once again, that God speaks. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who was talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a crowd overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they all looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus.
I found this piece of music. "Those were the days, my friend, I thought they'd never end. We'd sing and dance forever and a day. We'd live the life we choose, we'd fight and never lose, for we were young and sure to have our way. Those were the days. They were fantastic days. We thought they'd go on forever. We travelled, we listened to Jesus preach and teach and heal and argue with the Pharisees. They were great days." You might have guessed, my name's Petros, although Jesus called me later Petra, meaning a rock. And I guess the road sometimes has been a bit rocky. You know, I remember we were in Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus said, "Hey, who do people say I am?" And they were saying what the rumours were. John the Baptist, Elijah. Now, there's a blast from the past. But I blurted out, "You're the Messiah." And I got told off. We had a blazing row. And Jesus actually said to me, "Get behind me, Satan." I often wonder why we started to follow Jesus. You know, I'm sure it's something like this. We knew things had to be done in the world, but we felt somewhat powerless. And Jesus came and we saw what he did. He told wonderful stories that drew the crowds in, but then he went to people who were on the edge of the crowd. He touched them. He welcomed them. And they changed. And we saw that's what's needed. The world needs changing. And Jesus was the one we wanted to follow. And so that day, those were the days, but that was the day when we went up the mountain. You know, going up mountains is wonderful. You have this great vista, you see everything. And while we were there, Jesus became different. And we didn't know quite what was happening, what was going on. It was wonderful, it was exciting, it was inexplicable. I don't know where I got that word from, I'm only a fisher, but it was incredible. It was awe-inspiring. And there was Moses and Elijah. Now, I don't know how we knew that it was Moses and Elijah. But, wow. They were there to say, "Listen, the past is here. And we've got to move on from the past." That's how I kind of thought about it later. Moses was the great lawgiver. And at that time, Israel needed the law. But it had its drawbacks. The law said, if you follow this, you're all right. And if you don't, you're not all right. And so it kept a lot of people out. And Elijah, well, that wonderful story of how he was taken up, we knew that. But really the other story that comes to mind was the story of Elijah having to do battle with the prophets of Baal. And they set up these altars, you know, big, big contest out in the public arena. And the prophets of Baal were taunting Elijah. And he said, all right, I'll just show how good my God is. So put water all over the sacrifice and then see if God can make that burn. So they put water on Elijah's sacrificial altar, and the Baal, they made sure it was going to burn, and they called upon their gods to bring down the fire. And of course, it was Elijah's altar that burned and the sacrifice was consumed. So what did Elijah do? He killed all the losers. And we hold Elijah up as a great and shining example. So that had its drawbacks. Was this the God who made the law so that it was okay just for a few people, or made a prophet who said God will destroy all those who appear to be God's enemies? But it was such a wonderful feeling of these two great figures of the past and Jesus that I blurted out, let's stay here. This is wonderful. Let's build little huts that we can stay here forever. Those were the days, my friend. We thought they'd never end. But it had to end. It had to end. And Jesus was left alone with us. And he said, "Don't tell anybody of these things." Those were the days, my friend, we hoped they would never end. But we were privy to this time, if you like, I reckon it was a transition. It was a passing on of the baton. It was a succession through the past to Jesus and to us. We were there on that day. And then we had to go down the mountain. And I suspect to this day that the reason Jesus took us up the mountain was to take us out of the ordinary, take us out of the humdrum, and reveal to us something wonderful, to give us strength and courage to go back into the world of fishers. The world, as we then found, as we came down the mountain, there was a father with his sick child. From the heights of a wonderful experience of being in the presence of God, to knowing that we now had to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. Those were the days, my friend. And now that baton is passed to us.